Hey, Lissa. Hi, Nicole. I like your background. Hey, Kara. Hi, Kelsey.
Didn't know it was still here, my background. Can change it for some Dutch flowers or something.
It. For a while, when school first went remote last spring, Yael was using my computer for classes and she would play with the backgrounds. And I was always scared, like, if I had to, I wasn't doing Zoom classes yet then, but if I had to get on Zoom, I wouldn't know how to change the background. It'd be like Hello Kitty or something. Hi, Involve. All right, let's get started. Let's take a moment. Let's actually kind of let's breathe and come together and get present in the space. So I invite you wherever you are to either close your eyes or if that doesn't feel right, to close the shades on your eyes. Go inwards. Come to your body, remember your body. Find the ground beneath you and take pleasure and solace in the ground and the earth beneath that, always there for you. And then watch your breath. And see if by watching your breath and being with your body, it allows you to become more present. And giving yourself the space to show up with all of you, giving yourself the space to show up with all of you. And as you show up in this way, taking a moment to scan your business and notice where you're bringing struggle. Scan your business and notice where is there struggle. Where are you bringing struggle the most? What is the one place that there is tension that is maybe misaligned? That there is fl not flow in a place that you sense should be flowing? That there is struggle. And without judgment, notice the struggle. Observe the struggle without judgment. Observe the different sides and perspectives. Observe maybe where energy is leaking. bring awareness, intentional awareness. And as you bring awareness, intentional awareness to whatever the place of struggle is, ask, what's important for you to know or see here? What's important for you to know or see here? Together, we'll take a nice deep breath in and exhale out, and then allow your eyes to flutter open, bringing yourself fully present. It's good to see everybody. All right. We've got a clinic call today. So that means that you get to bring anything that you want to bring forward for us to look at together and explore and sort out. You all know the drill, anything inner or outer, whatever you need. Corinne.
Hey.
Hi.
I have two things today. One is I just got off a call with a client, and I always check in, so how you been since our last time? And many of them will say, so how have you been? So I do a little quick check-in. And my quick check-in this week is like, well, I did the COVID vaccine and I've had a couple of days in bed and now I feel great. And this client today went off on me for getting vaccinated. And telling me all the reasons why it's a bad idea, why it shouldn't happen. And I noticed myself getting a bit huffy. It's like, how fucking dare you? It's like, you can hold your opinions. And then I got into like, hey, listen, I'm a scientist at training. I know what I'm getting myself into. And I really value your opinion. And then he went off and just started citing all the sources, and I pretty fast reined it in is this what you want to spend our session on today? And I was like, no, not really. But he couldn't help himself. He went back there like 3 or 4 times, and I didn't even know what I want to say with it. Just that is the first time that I found myself get like angry with a client.
Yeah.
And maybe just acknowledging and celebrating that I was breathing through it, and I moved the conversation to something that really mattered.
Yeah, it sounds like, there were some triggers there for you, understandable, right? And even with the triggers and with the emotion, you were able to really hold space and as best as you could bring the conversation back. That's a huge celebration, right? Yeah. Because that could have gone in a very different direction.
Well, my very first was like, oh my God, I'm gonna have to fire this client. And I was like, no, stop it. Stop it.
Yeah.
Like, completely. No. Right. That is that I can really see like the polarization that's kind of happened in our society. And I could feel myself go right into that. Oh, here's somebody I can't talk to because they're like totally don't get where I'm coming from.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow. It's like it's so easy to go to that polarized place.
Yes. I'm so glad that you're bringing this into our conversation and into our space, because I think this is important for all of us as practitioners, right? Whatever the topic is, you know, we may each have our own like one or two things where we're like, no, that's the line, right? But in general, to understand like how quick, and particularly because of culture and social media, we all just naturally want to go to polarization because it's easier to think in black and white than it is to think in nuance. And then what are, you know, how we react versus respond because of that. Mm-hmm. And where we get triggered in that, right? It's so important for us to be aware as practitioners, and also to remember it's not about us. Like 9.999999 times out of 10. Like what he was talking about had nothing to do with you.
No.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. Well, thanks for the acknowledgement and kind of reinforcing. And I'm not going to fire him. He's a great guy. I love working with him.
Yeah.
Even though he's got some false information on his plate, in my opinion. So my next question is, I've been saying this for a long time now, and that I need help. I need an assistant that I can trust for this launch of the Women's Dragon series. I rehired my VA from last time because she's helped me launch the Dragon training twice before, and I'm remembering why I let her go. But it seemed easier to work with a known entity than to try to bring in somebody new, an unknown. But I'm looking at future now and like really getting clear that in order to take my business to the next level, I can't do it all on my own. I can't rely on like little helpers here and there that's just doing it a couple of hours a week because they have a full-time job or else other things going on. Like I need a VA.
Yeah.
So how do you find one? How do you interview them? How do you train them? Yes, Shamit, send it to me. Mm-hmm. I got the message to be slow to hire and fast to fire when it comes to VAs. And that's I've been the other way. I've been fast to hire and really slow to fire. And it's cost me a lot of money. And pains.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. First of all, let's celebrate because I think, tell me if I'm getting this true, I'm hearing a real shift energetically from
huge.
You. Yeah. I really, yeah. You know, it like, and there's so much wrapped up in it, right? Like there's so much wrapped up in getting support, right? It's not just a VA. It's not very like, there's so
it's like, much. Like me, myself and I, we got this and we've gotten this my whole life. So like, mm-hmm. I'm not going to invite somebody else in there because then I need to, that's too vulnerable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I love that you're thinking about it now, as opposed to let's wait till the next launch, right? Like right. That says so much. I hear that you're committed and I hear that you're committed to doing it in a way that is going to be really supportive of you. And the hire slow, hire quickly, or hire slow, fire quickly is so much, I mean, you know, with nuance to that. But it is like, I think that saying got created because there is so much of like, oh, but it's okay. But maybe I don't deserve that kind of support. I only deserve this kind of support, right? Like all the things, right? Which are not true. So first, yay, yay, yay. How do you find a VA, exactly what's happening in the chat? I think referral is the best way to find team. because there's just too much variance out there in terms, not so much in terms of skill, although that's part of it, but mostly in terms of commitment mm-hmm. and responsibility. So take these referrals. I would start there for sure. And let's see. I mean, there's so much to share in terms of hiring and onboarding, but I'll try to hit some important pieces. So what one of the things that I've really learned when it comes to hiring is number one, to be really clear on what I'm looking for. And when I say clear, I mean clear on the outer pieces that I want support on, and then clear on the, I don't know, the best word I can, the best way to describe it is personality mm-hmm. that I'm looking for, or inner pieces that I'm looking for. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Because it's about the tasks, but it's about so much more than the tasks. It's about showing up. It's about handling, you know, turbulence if that comes up. It's about connecting with clients and disposition and you know, all of that, right? So I like to make a list for myself, not just of the tasks that I need support on, but also on who is this person that I would like to support me? What personality traits do they have? What values do they hold? What even do they believe, you know, if that's helpful. So to first have clarity for yourself on it. And then from the first interview, or even if you're putting information out there, to share all of that, not just the tasks, but who is this person? Mm-hmm. That can just help from the get-go. Have some people fall away that wouldn't be appropriate. And it will also help you when you ask questions, when you have the conversation, know more what to ask about, right? So as an example, in addition to technical things, you know, let's say if I'm hiring, one example is our launches, like my launches, we try things, and if they don't work, we change mid-launch, you know, like whatever.
Let me ask you about that. You say we change mid-launch. Like, are you monitoring and deciding it's time to change mid-launch? Or does this one of your team members say, hey, Joanna, look at this, we should change?
It's mostly me, but it's mm-hmm. not rocket science. I'm like, mm-hmm. people aren't buying. We need to do something differently.
Well, that's true.
But you know, like the person that does my ads might say the ad isn't converting in the ways that we thought, or it's too expensive. So right. You know, it depends on the thing. But in general, it's usually motivated by me. So you know, in that example, I know it's important to change for in my business, it's important to change. So when I'm talking to someone who I'm considering hiring, if they're working on any part of a launch, I'm going to let them know this is how our launches go. And what I'm looking for is not only someone that can do this, this, and this, but someone who can kind of pivot when I need a pivot to happen, to go with the new flow, to change, right? That's one example of a personality trait versus this is a task to do. Another example is someone that's doing client care. Some of you have heard me say this before. That's, you know, that person, they need to obviously understand our systems and, you know, what to do to reschedule or schedule or all of that. But my client care person is always interfacing with clients and students. They need to be able to reflect my energy. They need to, you know, if something happens, they need to have a certain kind of kindness and generosity when they respond in their emails, compassion, whatever it is, right? So I'm looking for that. You know, I may ask specific questions, but I may also tune into like, who is this person? Can they really get, you know, the energy of my business and my brand and be able to represent that in scheduling and doing contracts, that sort of thing. So clarity, and then having questions for the person that really come from that clarity, I think is one of the most important things. There are other things I can say about interviews and all of that, but that's really, I think that's a big core piece. And then onboarding, depending on what the position is, but like for you as a VA, generally speaking, after contracts are signed and agreements and all of that, you want that with a team member. I can share an example of that. With VAs, I have found hit the ground running. So I'm not going to have like a 3-week training period with a VA as things come up. It's going to be, and I may need to put in, at this point, it wouldn't be me, someone else on my team, but when I was doing it, put in that time, okay, this is how we do this, right? And then go, or this is what I want to have happen. What do you need from me, right? If you don't already have, I'm guessing you probably don't, a manual that's been kind of created. So whoever you hire, everything that they do, write out the protocol, write out the system. Kara's saying in the chat, interviewing more people really helped. I agree 100%. Interview a couple people, ask for referrals, and call the referrals or reach out to them too.
So I'm curious, how much are you all paying for your VAs? Like, what's a normal hourly rate?
I'll let that happen in the chat. I think there's a range. I pay $35 an hour for my technical VA. Is that good to go on for now?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you. And you, will you share your contract?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Just because it really tails with that. So the technical VA, that sounds like the right rate. What about, does anybody have a VA that does like a little more than technical? Oh, so Stephanie's saying $575 a month. That isn't just that could do client care and technical, right? Like that kind of thing.
So I'll let people answer in the chat, Kelsey. But one thing I just want to say about that is sometimes there is a person that can do technical and client care together. But those two positions, speaking of personality, usually require two very different personality types. Sometimes you can find it in the same person, but the person that's going to be like effusive and know how to be a really good communicator usually is not the techie person that understands all the computer things. So that's been my experience. Kara.
Hi, Joanna. I have a sticky situation I wanted to talk through that started like a year and a half ago. And I've learned so much in the last year and a half that I wouldn't have made this decision. So I contracted with a woman to start working on a book with her, which I rarely do. And will never do.
Her book?
Her book, yeah. And we'll never do again.
And we'll never do again.
And it, as things turned out, she ended up doing my program like for her business first as a foundation to do the book. And then I ended up doing some of her work and we worked out this trade, like a partial trade. Like she's paying me you know, a certain amount. And then there's like some of it got reduced, and she's doing racial healing work with me, which is profound and deep. And so we've had this like deep year of supporting each other and leading up to the work of this book. And at the end of last year, we sat down, we made an outline, and she was going to start writing in January. And she has like big expectations for this book. And I feel like, I feel that there's kind of a karmic thing happening with us, like that we're trying to work something out. And so there's a deeper purpose to my support of her, you know, than just like she's a paying client. And so this Sunday, you know, she wasn't ready to schedule since January, and the Sunday, and so she finally scheduled a few weeks ago for like yesterday. And we had agreed on a certain number of pages, like around 10 pages per session that we'd be reviewing. And she sends me 50 pages. And with no like, this might be too much for you. She's right. Like, here.
Right. Here it is.
And I text her back and I'm like, great, you know, thank you. I'm so glad you did this. And like, I'm gonna be able to give you some high level thoughts on what you shared. You know, for this call.
Yeah.
And she's like, great. And I'm going to need some notes as well to help me in the writing. And I'm already like feeling the stir. And so I, you know, I did some, all my practices and we had the call yesterday, and I was trying to be diplomatic and be like, amazing, after like 20 years of trying to write this book, you wrote 50 pages. And like, here's why this story is amazing. And here's what I see the arc of it being. And like, you hired me to help tell your story, and I can't work with this like free flow download stuff. And I maybe didn't say it as directly like that. And she ended up giving me feedback that in the end, that she felt like I was being too nice and not wielding my expertise enough, and also too rigid for
rigid in terms of
like, I, from my own being lost in like my own story journey, have found a system of helping people who are writing books have a 7-step approach to it.
I see.
And so what I told her is that the way that I need to work with her is to start one step at a time and go like 10, 15 pages, 10, 15 pages, 10, 15 pages. And she can play within that, right? But like, we need to build the arc. And that felt, and so she's willing, but she said it felt rigid and, you know. So I've spent like 6 hours, not to mention like waking up at 4:30 the last 2 days. And so I, like, from our shadow work, I'm like, I wrote on the nice white lady. And then I wrote on the bitch. Cause like, but really, like, I felt like bitch energy yesterday. Like this is a fucking mess. He said me, and this is not what we agreed upon. And you're just expecting me to like drop my life and just like figure this out for you. So anyway, obviously this is very activating for me. And I think I'm mostly looking for support. I think I own that I am working on like clear boundaries, like more clear boundaries and more clear communication that's not about people pleasing. And I wanna use this as practice to help maybe reset the container and have this be a positive experience for us both.
Yeah. Yes. And so what you want support on today is to support in resetting the container. I just wanted to make sure if that was, for sure. So first, really just want to acknowledge you for doing the work, right? For being so aware, applying all the shadow pieces we looked at. I think exactly you're on the right path. When we're like too nice you know, the bitch on the other side is like, what the fuck, right? Not even, it's like not even at the other person so much as it is like at our nice one, you know, like our too nice one, like, come on, right? But then it comes out the way that it comes out, you know, and in a way the feedback she gave you on the being too nice was real, like a beautiful education for you, right?
Yeah.
So really just want to honor and acknowledge and celebrate all that you're doing. That's so right on, deep work, really important. I think you're asking for practical pieces, but I want to make sure that I'm getting that right.
Yeah, no, that was a helpful reflection. It's like too nice triggers the bitch. And like that bitch energy, it was just like stirring. And like Karen said, like, I don't want to be, like, it was my first experience of being like pissed at a client, like really pissed. And like, if I really let her, like, if I really wasn't nice, like I would have like burned something yesterday between us.
Right. But there is also a way of being kind and holding to your boundaries.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
So
yeah, and so I think that's the flavor of what I'm looking for support on in this next step, to say, like, I kind of feel like I want to go back to her and just say, I mean, obviously I'm going to send her some limited notes, like that's part of the work that we agreed on, but not overdo it, but like to actually have a conversation outside of the work around what's come up.
Did you have an agreement to begin with, a written agreement?
Yes.
Okay. And does it say in the written agreement, 10 pages?
No.
At a time?
Yeah. Yeah.
Good learning, right? Well, you're never going to take a book on again anyway, so it doesn't matter. But
it just I can apply that to other things, yes.
So I think the next step is for you to get clear for yourself first, and really write out like how you would like to see the work continue. And I would almost have two columns, like in one of the column, put the things that you guys already agreed upon, even if it was verbally, but not in the written contract. And then the other column is things that maybe you hadn't spoken about, but you're wondering about. Those are more iffy. You have to talk through with her, right? But now that you're in the work, that you're seeing is important.
Right.
So to get clear on what those things are, but I think having the two columns, so you can see like these things we agreed upon, I know that that's solid and kosher, you know, these things are more up. We may need to like come back and remember these things. Yeah. And then these are the things that are more questions for moving forward, right? Mm-hmm. So from that, more that middle place, you know, not the too nice, not the bitch.
The nice bitch.
Nice bitch. The you know, the grounded warrior, right? Whatever it is. What are those things? Mm-hmm. And then from there, I agree, conversation, not an email. You all know by now, I'm a little bit of an astrology person. We're going into a Mercury retrograde. Do not do this via email. Have the conversation, be very clear. And actually take a moment, close your eyes and come to that aligned place between the too nice one and the bitch. Just come to that real aligned place in between. Move into that energy. Can you feel it?
Need another breath here.
Yeah, take a couple breaths, take your time.
Yeah.
Stay with it. What does that feel like in your body?
Well, you know, I saw an image of like a sword coming through my back and up to my hands. It was like this story is about like the loss of her mother and the profound impact. And I felt like her mother is a part of this. And so there's like this spiritual support for this work. And it's like, we're, it's like not even coming from me, like we're asking you to the sword.
Yeah, beautiful. So stay with that, be with that. From that, from this place with the sword, how do you want to start that conversation with her? What is it that you want to say at the beginning of the conversation?
I mean, there's part of me that, I don't know if this is the nice one, but like, I do think there's some responsibility to take for the lack of the clarity of the process and everything.
Yes. Even the energy that you just said that in didn't feel too nice to me. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's some responsibility to take on my end. And I really, from my own experience, know that a container and a structure is necessary to birth this work.
Yeah.
And I am going to ask her to follow the process and share the amount of work that I can effectively do.
Yes.
In between our calls, because I can't, anyway, I don't even want to go into, I can't, it's like,
no, I don't think you have to say that. I think, right. Right. So there's going to be a recording of this call if you need to come back to everything that you just said, but yes. Right. And then I'll just add this only if it resonates, in there to say, like, I so believe in your work and in this book, and I want you and this book to be as successful as possible, and I want to support you in this. I'm honored to support you in this, and this is what I know is important for me to be able to support you in this.
Yeah,
like that.
Beautiful. And one last question that's coming up is like, part of the stickiness of this, and in addition to all the other sticky factors, is like, we have a friendship now. And we've like, we're kind of like girlfriends. And I felt hurt, honestly. I think that was part, like, I really felt hurt that she would just be like, here, you deal with this. That's how it felt to me. And so I don't know, but I'm a coach here, and I don't know if that's relevant to bring into this space.
What does your heart say? Coaches have hearts too.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we've shared so much that I feel like it's relevant to share, but that also, there's a way that I can't be her friend in this container that we're in the same way.
Mm. Is that a conversation that would be valuable to have with her? I don't know. I don't have an agenda in asking. I'm just wondering.
About our friendship?
Yeah, like how to navigate it.
Mm-hmm. I think there's something to be named about it.
Mm-hmm.
That there's a relationship that, like, we've talked about collaborating and all these things.
Yeah.
And maybe it's more of a dialogue than me needing, like, in that case, it's more of a dialogue than me needing to be the,
yes, agree, the
leader of that part of the conversation.
Agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's helpful. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. I, again, just really want to acknowledge, like, you could be handling this in such a different way. I think it shows such signs of growth and evolution, how you're holding this and moving forward with it. Really well done.
Thank you, Joanna.
Shamet.
Hi. That was really helpful because I have a sticky one too. So this, I brought up a little bit about what was going on in our last call. It was around the client that I could see shame. And she's also a friend. And yeah.
That's good to know.
She was initially a client. So I, you know, I didn't mention that in the last call, but she was initially a client, but then she became a friend, and then the container changed, you know, it became more kind of open. And, so when I did bring up the shame, I really thought that she was on the same wavelength as me and the same level as me, and that, you know, and because I've been working with my own shame, I mean, I was really excited. I was like, oh, you know, I can help you with this because I've been working through this. And it was that kind of, and I had no idea that, you know, she would be so triggered. So I have been feeling so sad about it because, you know, it feels like the way that she responded was pretty, it was pretty intense. And now it just feels like the friendship is really damaged. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how to navigate forward. I actually intuitively felt that when we became friends that she really wasn't any longer a client, and it wasn't a paid session, it was a trade. It was her doing some editing for me. And so it was very kind of loosey goosey anyways. And so, yeah, all the more reason probably not to cross that line with clients. And I don't know, it's hard when you become friends. It just convolutes a lot of things, doesn't it?
it can blur lines for sure. So first, I just want to speak to that since that was, you know, part of like what Kara was sharing about in this. And it's funny, it just came up, in a Facebook post as well, you know, this question of like, can I be friends with my clients? Can my clients become friends? Can my friends become clients? And, you know, all right. And I don't, so first I'm going to say like, I don't have, everybody has their own answer to that question. That's number one. But I do think that I can share certain, I don't know, like foundational things to think about around that. So, one is to kind of know for yourself which friends are just like, they're not going to make good clients either because of who they are or because of the nature of your relationship. And to be really clear on that, like I always really, but at this point will only take a very particular person that I'm, and not, I would never, for me personally, never a good friend, like it just a very, very particular, right? And that's me. But just like to be very clear on that. And then the other thing is to understand exactly what you were sort of hinting at, Shamet. We hold different containers with our friends than we do with our clients. That's neither good nor bad. That is just the difference of the nature of the relationship. But if we're going to hold both hats, we need to be clear, not just for ourselves, but in conversation with the other person, how the container is going to be held in which moment. How the container is going to be held in which moment. Clarity on that can help deter some of that convolution that you were talking about, you know, and and keep things more aligned in a way. And then even like within the container, even containers within the container, right? Because I know that I've been in sessions with a friend, or even not someone that I was friends with before, but women who have come to be sisters because they've been clients for so long. And sometimes I will say, what I'm about to say to you is as a sister or as a friend, not as your coach, right? So even containers within containers.
That's great. That's really, really good. So how, where do I,
so where do you go from here? So yeah. So what's knowing everything that we looked at on Monday and sacred power and all that's coming through here, what is your intuitive sense about this? How do you desire to move forward here?
Well, I feel like if I gave her complete agency and got in touch and just said, I've had some more coaching, some more training. I've really reviewed and processed everything that happened. And I realize now that I would do things differently. And I'm really sorry. Like, I think that feels very scary for me because I don't like admitting to my mistakes.
Mm-hmm. This is yeah, who does? I hear you.
So on one level, it feels really, really, really scary, but it's not about me. It's about her. So I feel there's the answer, huh? Yeah, I do need to.
And what I would say is where it is about you is your integrity, right?
Yeah.
So
I thought I was 100% in integrity. This is the interesting thing before sacred power. Right.
That's
oh my God, I see things completely different now.
That's why I keep on saying in that program, just because you're a person of integrity doesn't mean you have the skills of integrity, because we're not taught, right? So all of this is wonderful. Last piece, I'll just share my personal philosophy around apologies that has been helpful for me. Anytime I issue an apology, it's really important for me to not expect or be attached to any outcome or expect the other person to receive it or not receive it or react or respond or whatever it is. I issue the apology for the sake of the apology because it is the right thing to do and hope for the best.
I really needed to hear that because she's now going to school for psychology, and I felt like there was a little bit of a power struggle there that, you know, because I was, you know, in school training to get my master's, and then I stopped and I started doing the coaching instead.
Yeah.
So I felt like she was kind of doing a little bit of this to, you know, and
right,
that.
So you don't, right. It's like her business is her business. Your business is to share your truth.
Yeah.
And the apology, right?
It is going to be hard though, but yes, it's the right thing. Yeah, thank you, Joanna.
Yeah, you're so welcome.
I have one more question, and it's kind of around this. And what happens when someone really, really wants to work with us? Like, I just had this happen where, you know, this person really wanted to work with me, but I really just did not want to work with them. And it was really interesting because she's the one that put the deposit down, signed the contract, everything for the priestess training, and then she pulled out. And honestly, when she pulled out, I was like, oh, thank God.
Right, you were relieved. For me, like the short answer on that is if I just feel that it's not right, I will not take someone on. And I have to be honest about that, right? And I'll just say, like, it doesn't feel aligned for me. It doesn't feel right. I don't think you're a right fit for this program. I don't think you'll be served. I think you'll be better served somewhere else, you know, whatever it is. But that's an integrity piece, 100%. We don't want to just take anyone in. It has to feel right. So
you actually say that to the client.
I do. Different words for different people, you know, but yes, I won't do it.
Thank you.
So yeah,
it's everything for me. Thank you. I'm also going to have to jump off early because it's my son's birthday today.
Happy birthday, mama. Thank you. And honoring your courage.
Thank you.
Kelsey.
So what's percolating for me, first of all, I almost didn't come on today because I'm having this feeling like I'm doing all these things instead of doing my business and I should just be doing my business right now. And then I hopped on and like every single thing that got said today was so important for me. So literally, I'm so glad I did always, but and I do have an 11 o'clock call, so I only have a few minutes, but I just wanted to say what's percolating for me from the sacred power, but also from all of this work is, because I'm also doing all this work. I think I mentioned it in the sacred power class about codependency, mm-hmm. and this, way that I have been, that I have thought was like people pleasing and taking care of everybody and oh, so good. And so virtuous and so whatever. And now I'm understanding it from like another level that's like around control and power. And I've been just, it's kind of swirling, but one of the things that's coming up for me that I think is really something I need to work through, and maybe just getting your reflection would be interesting, because as an acupuncturist, people come to me for like, what do I do for this thing? They want my like, okay, I'm having soft stools. What should I do? And we talk about their diet and I give them prescriptions, you know, and I don't always say like, do this. I do ask. I mean, I do, you know, very much involve the person in the process, but there's a way with that hat on that I feel comfortable. Like that's what they're hiring me for, is to like, tell them what I know, right? This is what I've studied and this is what I know. And yet I also do a lot of coaching in there, and yet I'm also the same person. So then I switch between coaching and acupuncture the next day. And I have to figure out a way to not go into that mode. I don't do it. I mean, I don't do that in coaching. I do a lot more of the inviting, but I think that there's maybe an energy that also what's coming up for me is in my relationships of how I must know best. I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there that I'm swirling around with this, inviting others to have power so they don't feel as controlled by me. And I'm thinking in my personal relationships too.
Right. I love that all of this is coming through and that you're seeing it's about control and power and right. Like all of the, control and power can just be masquerade as so many, right?
Like, well, yeah. And I'll say
being kind and trying to help.
And I'll say
you are too,
but I'll say one more thing about that. You know, like I said, I'm in this legal battle with my daughter's father, and he's like such a bully and he's so controlling and he's so blah, blah, blah. I mean, it's like, and I talked to his lawyer yesterday and he literally said he feels controlled by you. And I was like, fuck.
Yeah.
I was like, here I was like, I'm just going to take my power back. I'm just going to finally set my boundaries. And I'm like, oh shit, like there's something happening here.
Yeah. I love that all of this, I mean, it's like the word that's coming through is like a rearrangement for you. Like, it feels like there's a rearrangement of energies that are happening. They're not settled yet, but I'm so happy to hear it. And so related to all the work we did in the shadow retreat, it feels like really big. I feel like you were asking, tell me if I'm getting this right, what you were specifically asking about is with clients and consulting.
Yeah.
So I will model for you because I'm about to consult, even though I also coach, and tell you what I think. It is funny. I was just sharing in Sacred Depths yesterday. We were looking at strategizing, and what I was saying is that when you're coaching, when it comes to strategizing, strategizing is either full coaching, like you don't you're not giving any of your expertise, and you're holding space and asking questions for client to find their own solutions, their own ideas, their own, you know, brainstorms on whatever, or you've gotten expertise and that's part of why they've hired you. But even then, it's a combination of the two. The consulting and the coaching go together, right? And so, and the way that I have, best way that I have found that they go together is to share what you know, what you have seen works best. And there may be some language around that, right? Similar to what we were talking about in Sacred Power the other day, right? Like, this isn't the truth with a capital T, or what I know from Chinese medicine is. It's not always true, but it is true, right? However you want to say it, share the expertise, but then the follow-up is, how does that land for you? Or how does that feel for you? Or what does that inspire you to want to take action on? Or whatever it is, right? So combining the expertise with the coaching so that, as Inval so brilliantly said the other day, you're not limiting agency. Right? You're not limiting agency. How does that land for you?
That lands great. Oh, am I? Yeah. That makes sense. That makes perfect sense. It's really being mindful. I think what it would take is like really being mindful of the difference and just slowing down enough to know. And not second guessing myself, because I think I sometimes second guess myself when I'm about to give advice and I'm like, should I give advice? And sort of saying, because sometimes in my coaching, it's not necessarily like, here's what I know from Chinese medicine. In my acupuncture, it's that. In my coaching, sometimes it's like, here's what I know from business or from my life or whatever. And sometimes it's just advice, you know, which isn't necessarily my expertise.
Completely. And so again, it's like being mindful of it, right? And then sometimes you use words to couch it. And you've seen me model that, you know, like, I'm not sure about this, or this is, I think sometimes, but not all the time, but you're here, let me toss this. That's another one of mine. Like, let me toss this to you, right? And then sometimes it doesn't need language and you can just say it, right? So, but I think the word you use, the mindfulness, that's the key, being mindful. Right.
Yeah.
Practitioner.
Yeah. And even as I'm having this conversation with you, like, it's not a problem. Like, none of my clients have said, I feel confused. Like, so it's just coming up for me that it's something to pay attention to, but I feel like I have the dance. And for me, maybe to become an even deeper, more skilled coach is to try myself to use a little bit less of that consulting, just because that's maybe the easier piece for me sometimes, to go there instead of like ask the next powerful question and just remind myself, not that any client has ever said any of this, but just for me, to know that maybe the next deeper question is, a reminder to go there instead.
I love it.
And I think I saw Anne write something about narcissists. Yes, he's a total narcissist, and narcissists will feel controlled if they're not doing the controlling. I know. So I'm not taking it on, but I just know that there's something cosmic happening this week. And thanks for just letting me talk it out with you.
Yeah. Thank you. Stephanie.
Hey there.
Hi.
That felt really relevant to what I was bringing. I had a client session yesterday that I had some questions about, and it's sort of twofold, but I think they're related. So I had a session with this gal who is really close to like getting her products out there. It's really exciting. She's been working on this for so long, and she wanted a lot of help around marketing. And like developing a marketing strategy. And for most of the session, like, I feel like I tried to frame it well and like always sort of reflected back in a similar way to what you were saying of like, oh, here's what I've done in my experience. Like, how does that land? What does it make you think of? But I did feel like I was really heavy on the consulting, because she was in a place of like, I don't even know what to do. Like, tell me what to do. And so I gave a lot of, ideas and we came up with a strategy that seemed to resonate with her. And then at the end, we had like 10 minutes left and she basically said, oh, there's one more thing. I didn't put it on my focus form, but like, I've been having a lot of fear come up. And I was like, okay, cool. We've got 10 minutes to dig into fear. But we looked at it. I asked her what the fear was and she didn't really know. She named a lot of different things. She talked about feeling nervous about maybe moving into sort of like a summer phase in her business, because I've been talking about seasonality with them as well. She's now like kind of moving out of startup and into like, it's actually happening. Fear of like putting herself out there constantly. There's some fear of visibility. It seemed like there was a lot of different fears. Another one being a big one of not knowing what to do. Because she's always worked for other people, right, who've told her what to do. And so working with this fear, like that was sort of a moment for me. I was like, oh shit, like I've just been sort of telling her what to do the whole time. And the pattern revealed itself of like, oh, she's really freaked out about something. And we talked about it and she said she goes into like this freeze mode where she just doesn't, she can't move. Like she doesn't know what to do. She doesn't know what the next step is. And she wants someone to tell her what to do. And I realized I'd been sort of playing into that, not realizing it was coming from a place of fear. Yeah. So I guess there's two things. One was like, well, when I asked her to like, to go into the fear, I was like, can we look at this deeper? Where do you feel it in your body? She couldn't find it. And I don't know if that was related to sort of her freeze mechanism of maybe there was sort of this numbing, but like she just could not connect with her body. And so in the moment I was like, okay, I don't really know what to do from like, I wasn't able to do that sort of embodied work that I feel like can be really helpful and has become sort of my go-to.
Yeah.
So that's one piece. And then the second piece being like, what could I have done differently in that moment? Like, as I'm speaking, I'm realizing I could have like shone a light on that and raised some awareness around this pattern of like, you asked me for what to do because you were scared and you were freaked out. Anyway, I feel like I'm sort of just rambling because I'm feeling a little confused about it, but I only had 10 minutes to deal with this and it brought a lot of questions up for me on how I could have handled it better to really serve her and give her what she needs so she's not relying on me for all the answers, so that she can connect in with her wisdom and with her body. Yeah, I guess that's all I'll say for now.
So first, there's some really good news here, which is that she brought it up.
Right.
You held a space, right? You held a tight enough, beautiful, vulnerable enough container for her to even like have the awareness and then bring it up. That's huge.
Yeah.
And I really like, I'm pointing that out because I think it's important for you to see that, Stephanie. Right. Like sometimes things are revealed in the beginning, but like, we're not like even the best practitioners in the world. We're not like know-it-alls that like see all the things, right? Like stuff has to happen. And then, you know, like if we're holding the container well, what needs to be revealed gets revealed. So yay, that happened, because it could have easily not, and that session could have ended.
Yeah. That's a good point.
From there, 10 minutes is a really tight amount of time to start dealing with fear and embodiment. Like, I'm almost not surprised she couldn't feel it, because unless she's practiced in it and all the things, like she was probably thinking about time too. You know what I mean? Like it's that's a lot for a short period of time.
True.
So that's just one piece to think about. Unless it's a client that you have a certain rapport with, that you know has done this work, that they you know, they can get into their bodies quickly, they know themselves well, If something like that is going to come up at the end of a session, it's a great thing to talk about more, give some homework on, and say you're going to, like, if they would like to, can do some really awesome deeper work next session. And then in terms of like the talking, then I think, yes, like you're already starting to see some places like shining a light, more of a light on the pattern, you know, and looking more like, you know, I think I've been playing into this too, right? Like just talking through some of that, super helpful to create awareness in those, in, you know, around all those pieces. And then some light dipping into the fear, but maybe not in the body. Like, so, you know, just to ask questions like, what do you think the fear wants you to know? Or what do you think the purpose of, how have you been using this fear for yourself, you know, to support you up until now? Or, you know, whatever it is, some questions around that, just to start making some inroads, open up some ideas, or even just creating awareness of like, this is awesome that this is coming through. Because it's coming through and because you're sharing, it means that it's ready to shift and we can really work with this. You know, it may not have been ready before, right? So I know I'm saying a lot of things in a short period of time, I'll stop. Tell me what's landing for you here, or what is this sparking for you? What feels important?
Yeah, I think a couple of things. Yeah, I'm hearing like, it was a really short period of time and too short to really do any sort of like deep embodied work. And so, and when she couldn't feel it, I was like, okay, I'm not sure what's going on there exactly, but like, I'll shift to something else. And instead like tried to stay more on like an intellectual sort of memory level. And we thought about another, I asked her to think about other points in her life where she felt frozen. And she was able to move through that. And she talked about some other situations. And she did sort of arrive at a, like her, where she landed was like, remembering that what she had to do in those situations is just sort of do the thing, even though she felt frozen. And that in that process, that frozen feeling melted away and she could find her passion underneath that. And that seemed important to her. I felt like there was something still missing that we weren't really accessing there, but we still landed at an okay place by staying at that sort of intellectual level. I'm also hearing that it would be valuable for me maybe to acknowledge the pet. Like, I'm wondering if it would make sense for me to bring it up in an email or at the very least at the next session and just say like, I've been thinking about what happened last time, realizing my role in it and just sort of like talking about the pattern, like coming back around to that and then asking if she wants to go deeper, if that still feels sort of alive and relevant to her.
I think that's a great idea. My sense is to do it voice to voice.
Yeah.
Again, I, especially because I am a Mercury retrograde believer, but even outside of that, I think, I don't know, my sense, just my intuitive sense with this client is it's best voice to voice right now.
Yeah. Yeah. And we've got a bunch of sessions coming up. So yeah. And it's not the first time we've worked through some sort of fear. Mm-hmm. I definitely get a sense with her that there's like a lot of tenderness underneath. Like there's been many sessions where there have been tears triggered by working with the fear. And there's been even some moments where like I could sense there was something even deeper. And I asked if she wanted to go there and she said no. Like there may be trauma that I don't want to like poke at too strongly. Yeah.
Yeah, so especially because you know that about her. Well, let me ask you, what's your intuitive sense?
About, how to work with
share. Yeah, email or voice to voice.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we've been able to go, like, she doesn't really do anything much else in the group, honestly. Like, she's not a big writer when it comes to, like, sharing in the group or sending emails. So I think we've been able to go deeply, maybe not, like, super deep because there's something there. But, like, yeah, the voice-to-voice seems more effective with her.
Awesome. Yeah, so I would bring that up next time. Mm-hmm. Sounds like you're doing really good work. Again, just really want to acknowledge you for that. Like, these aren't the type of thing that you're bringing up. I don't see it as a bump in the road. I see it as all part of the process.
Yeah, thank you for that. And then I guess, like, moving my last piece around that going forward is, it probably makes sense if I notice her going into a place of, like, asking me for all the answers, to just sort of make note that, like, this is something we've talked about before. But, like, I still do think there's moments when it is appropriate, like Kelsey was just talking about, for me to share my expertise.
Completely. I mean, I share my expertise all the time.
Yeah.
On client calls, again, with the always, never as, what I'm sharing is the truth with a capital T. Mm-hmm. Right. And then if I have a client that I know is prone to needing, like, using my opinion as a crutch, mm-hmm. that's when I'll hold back a little bit more and have the conversation first.
Yeah. That's a good idea. I could probably do more, a little more of that. Sometimes I get really excited. I'm like, let me tell you about all the things. But yeah, I can see that might not be serving her 100%.
Yeah. So for each person, it's a different balance, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't know. The last thing I'll say about this is energy. Like, I know personally, like, when I feel, I don't know, this may not be true actually, considering what you just said, but I usually, like, with clients that they're using me as a crutch, I feel it. Like, I almost feel like I'm giving too much, and I want them to be able to generate more.
Yeah. Yeah. That was the feeling I had during our whole call yesterday.
So trust yourself, you know, mm-hmm. and your intuition, how cool. you feel in your body. Okay.
All right. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. Tammy.
Hi again. just a question about New York and the container that I'm going to create while I'm there. So I've reached out to everybody with the email that I shared, and people have come back and are ready to schedule. And so I'm going to, you know, work on scheduling. And, like, the two things I just kind of want to be clear on is I want to make sure that I get paid $175 an hour across the board, you know, so there's going to be a few people with babies that I haven't seen at that rate. So I kind of need to just let them know. So if they've come back to me already and said, I'd like to schedule, do I say, great, these are the options, but I also want you to know, like, this is going to be my fee from now. Like, do I do it at that point? And then they can make the decision, like, it's going to work or not.
Exactly.
And do I need to, like, just kind of make it in a pretty bow so they understand, like, why that's the rate, you know what I'm saying? Like, do I need to have that?
Okay. Well, I mean, what do you think?
I mean, I'd like not to, but I feel like some people, you know, might be like, what? But I feel like, you know, that's okay. I kind of want to just, this is like another way for me to shed people that I don't need.
So I would go with that 100%.
Good. And then, like, as far as the new packaging for my my tech support, I kind of feel like it would be good for me to have that information before New York so that when I'm there, I can say, like, at least that piece I know is an offering, and then people come, because, like, I want to kind of be done with the people that aren't paying me for that time.
Yes, 100%. Yeah, and I can help you with that, you know, as you put the numbers together.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Big yes to 175 across the board. Inval. And Anne, I'm gonna come for you too, if you have the time. Hopefully we'll get it all done by 2:30, but if not, I can hang on if you can. Inval.
Mine is very short. I circled back with a prospect yesterday. I guess I'm a little bit embarrassed to ask this, but I guess the context is that I'm feeling a lot, but I was just like, it's like when someone is like, just you're like saying all these things and you're like, okay, like you're lying to yourself. And I just like, and I didn't, it's like, you know, I want to honor like where she's at because, and I like, and I think I also like something, I turn off when I feel like I have to like be in like convincing energy. Like, I don't want to be in convincing energy. I guess, you know, the bottom line of my question is how to close containers, because basically she has, I think I may have also freaked her out when I named that, like, kind of like some of her concerns seem to be, she has a really deep, deep need for safety and security and thinks that she can like control all of this through like her jobs. And like just trying to maximize everything. So I knew that she was like hella risk averse from the beginning. So, you know, and I think she has like a lot going on. So the bottom line is that she was like, you know, I'm not ready. And because I'm not sure that like this will work, but also I don't have time to make career changes right now. You know, and then she was like, I want to talk to my boyfriend and my parents, like all of these people who I also think have like, yeah, like she's spending all of her energy helping this new boyfriend with this house that he's gonna flip. And like, she just had a relationship like 8 years ago where it was like planned everything around this dude and then he bailed. So, but we did not talk, you know, I'm not her coach. So I guess the thing is that she was like, so can I get back to you like in July? So, and I just said to her, I was like, look, like, she's like, I need to talk to all of these people. And I'm like, okay, just, you know, I trust that like, you know what you need to do. I would be mindful, like, yeah, especially around her parents, who there are already a lot of issues with and nothing like without strings. But I don't know her to really be, yeah. So I hope what I said was okay. And she thanked me throughout the process for being so transparent. So it's like, I don't know how to hold a line between, there's a part of me that's like, fuck you, never mind. I don't, you know, like, I don't care, like defensive. I'm being really honest. Then there's a part of me that's like, yeah, like, and I don't want to like participate in this, but I also, I want to have ownership, not just like, okay, I'll wait for her to get back to me.
Yeah, completely. So, yes. And so closing the loop, could one way in this situation, it could sound first honor her, like wanting to talk to whoever she's going to talk to, and that's great and whatever. And you could, if you wanted to, as part of that, like if it felt right, to call out that sometimes that is a way of stalling, and just for, you know, for her to be clear for herself. And, you know, the things that we put in front of ourselves, you know, between us and what we really want, you know, like you could, if it felt right, to mention that and have an exploration if that is true for her or not in this situation. But then if she comes to like, yes, it is, I need to do all these things, a closing the loop thing would be to give her some homework, like questions, journaling, things to be thinking about, and maybe ask her to send it to you by a certain date. And then set the date in July that you're going to be coming back around to things.
Oh, I didn't realize that it could be, yeah, that I would actually, like, in the follow-up call, give more homework.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. Is it too late to do now? Because she was like, can I get back to you in July? And there was a part of me that was like, yeah, I mean, I hate this, but I, you know, I wanted to be like, well, I don't know if like my rates are going to be the same. And I was like, don't say, like, I mean,
yeah.
I stopped myself from being reactive. I'm being very open here. It was just all of, so I was like, you know, I honored where she was at.
Completely. No, I've been there. I've totally been there. So good on you for not letting the trigger get.
And then I was like, so would it be okay? You know, like, so, cause she had said July and I was like, great. So end of June. You know, it also sounds like she is extra busy now. And she then, after we worked through some of the resistance, she was like, look, it takes me a long time to initiate, but once I do, like, I'm there.
Mm-hmm. That's, I think that's hopeful and that's awesome. So you could absolutely send her an email and just say, like, it was so good to connect. You know, I loved X, Y, and Z that came through, like, whatever, you know, from the conversation, affirm. Validate her, all the things, say, I'm really excited for you to speak to your boyfriend and your parents and to continue this process. I loved what you said about, you know, that it takes you time at first and everybody has their own pace. And it's so good that you know that about yourself. And then if you wanted, you could say, you know, as I've been thinking about you and our conversation, as you move through this next month, here are some questions that might be really valuable for you to journal on. Give her a couple, two or three. You know, as you move through the questions and as you move through the, conversations, you know, no matter what you ultimately decide, I feel it's important for you and for our process to meet again, you know, beginning of July. You can share with me all that's come through in your decision-making process. And we can support you, you know, to either do the work or, you know, feel good that it's not the right time, something like that.
That's really great. I'm going to have to go back and listen to the recording. So yeah, I mean, I'm taking away that it doesn't have to be like, you know, one or the other. I think that, like, I don't like the ambivalence. Yeah. And also that, and there's like a, yeah, but there was also one more. Yeah, is that I think that there's also a part where I'm like, I don't want to have to work that hard.
I completely hear you. And that's a decision for yourself. And I've certainly been there too. I think when I get to that place, an important question for me is like, is it actually working that hard or am I like reacting and being triggered right now? And that's why it feels like I'm working so hard.
Totally.
Sometimes it's going to be one and sometimes it's going to be the other, but it's good to just like give yourself a reality check on why the energy is flowing out, you know?
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Anne.
Yeah. So mine's, I want to say it's a vague inner peace, and also apologies for all of the background stuff. I had a load of laundry go through with a lip balm in the dryer. So I'm just like, all right, I'm going to listen and I'm going to stay and treat the waxy spots while I'm listening. So the inner thing for me is around being able to, this came up yesterday in a different setting, being able to really give my business the time and the loving attention that it deserves. And it's been coming up a lot in the last week or two, and it intensified in terms of like being in my face about all the other things that I choose to spend time and energy on, which a lot of it is, you know, my kid, which I don't regret that. You know, she's 15. She's been home this year in virtual school. I love having her home. I love sitting and listening to her classes. I love being able to share that with her. It's a rare opportunity, but it also means I'm not getting my shit done. And so this last weekend, I learned that my aunt died, my dad's older brother's wife, and there's a weird family dynamic. My favorite cousin is estranged from my less favorite cousin and my aunt who died because of just some really horrifying family dynamics, you know, on the part of my aunt and my less favorite cousin. So I'm sort of observing this and looking at this relationship between a mother and a daughter that I care deeply about that will never ever be resolved, that will never be healed with both people on the same side of the ground, you know? And besides all the other grief stuff that got triggered, and I actually called the grief counselor to be like, look, I gotta just dump this somewhere, which helped. I went for a walk with Grace yesterday and I said, look, I'm really struggling to figure out how, like, not putting it on my kid, but just kind of like, these are the things you might be seeing me going through. Like, I'm really struggling to know how to prioritize my work time, because I never really got over shifting to 50-50 custody when the divorce happened. So I lost, she was with me all the time and my ex was never really around when we were in the same house. So I lost a lot of time with her. So when she's here, I just want to make it all about her. And I want to make it all about the time together, but I don't know how I can build a viable business that is sustainable, that gives us the financial security that we need in the 2 weeks a month that she's not here, without also then shortchanging my marriage and my well-being. And in the last kind of 24 to 48 hours, really started freaking out about how I don't even know that I even trust myself, even though I know on some level, if I let myself be intuitively guided about what's calling for my energy, and I really attend to that, it usually works out. But I'm just so scared that I'm going to lose something really important to me by devoting so much time to one or the other. And I feel so pulled. And it just kind of made everything business-wise grind to a halt. And I know, like, there's old clients that are starting to orbit out as my focus changes, and that's right. It's the end of a winter, it's moving into spring, but we're not at the sprouts yet, you know? And there's things that need to be put in place and cultivated. But I'm not energizing it. I'm not putting anything into it, but I can't afford to wait until she goes off to college. I can't afford to wait until, and like, also it's summer break is coming. And then in the fall, she'll be back in in-person school. She'll want to spend time with her friends because they'll be vaccinated. They'll be able to spend time together. And I feel like I just want to soak it all in, but it feels really, really risky. And I just don't know how to reconcile all this. I tried going on to a meditation call kind of over the lunch hour today, just kind of reorient to my own sovereignty and relationship to my business. And I just, like, I couldn't get my footing.
Yeah.
You know, the meditations that usually do help me get centered and connected, I just kind of couldn't sleep. Like, I went to bed two nights ago at 8:30. I was exhausted and it was great.
Sleep. Yeah, and no, I'm going to interrupt you just because time, and I think I got it. And okay. I
didn't sleep last night though. Like, it just,
that will add to it and harder to get grounded. First thing, I just want to like acknowledge it's hard. I mean, it's hard and I don't even know, because I'm not, you know, I'm like, I parent with, you know, like, it's, and so I just hear in your sharing, like, the, you know, so much and all that you're holding. And first, I just want to acknowledge how hard that is and what it brings up for you. And also that you're an incredible mama. You know, she's so lucky. She's so lucky.
There's... I feel lucky to have her. She's such an amazing kid.
Yeah, I can feel that. And every time you post about her, talk about her, I feel it. Sometimes I'm like, well, anyway, I'm not going to get there. Go there, but I have a couple of, there are a couple of things that I'm curious about. And one is, if you were to kind of make two columns, one column of like, what parts of the fears are legit, and then what parts of the fears are not so legitimate, what would that be?
Yeah.
I hear that there are some legitimate things to be concerned about, but my sense is, tell me if you agree, is that there, the energy of those concerns are pulling other things in that actually are not, do not need to be in there. And so that's one thing I'm curious about that I'd love for you to spend time on. And then let's see, organize here. Another thing is, what does the relationship that you want with your daughter actually require and not require? What does the relationship that you want with your daughter actually require and not require? So these are all homework questions. Mm-hmm. And then the last one is, what are some ways that the two of you could connect? This isn't, I don't know, hopefully you'll get what I mean by this question. What are some ways that the two of you could connect through your work? Not despite your work, but through your work. Do those feel like good questions to... I know there's like the emotional fear pieces too. We can, you know, but I feel like those, you're working through those. This feels very related to also what we looked at, I think, at the shadow retreat. Yeah. And I feel that that's working through you, and we can come back to those. But I feel like there are also just some like cognitive clarity pieces here that are important. How does all of that land for you?
Yeah. Yeah. Those definitely seem like helpful perspectives to explore. Cause like, I know I can't like do anything about missing her when she's not here. You know, it is what it is. But I think especially the question about like, what is the relationship that I want to have with her actually require? And, you know, where does that, because I hear also with the third question, like where does that actually leave space for me to be working in my business and have that be something that is ultimately, you know, additive? I mean, even just like with the basement reno, when I had to break down my office and we didn't have like a table that we're sitting on opposite sides of while she was in school and I was cranking out work, it changed something. And even just that, like as this space gets integrated again, making sure that there's space to co-work while she's home.
Yeah.
And cause we both liked that.
Yeah.
And she,
and there's, yesterday. And there's, that's not, doesn't always have to be a less than having an intense conversation with her. Like that can be just as valuable sometimes, not just for the relationship, but for the modeling, you know, but, right? So I love that that's something that's coming through.
Yeah. Or even just like, I need to sit down and I need to write this marketing copy. I know that you're like writing a new one-shot adventure for your D&D group. You want to sit with me? Like that could be enough sometimes. And
sometimes, right? Not always, right? But that's the important word there, not black or white.
Yeah. Sometimes. Yeah. 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 Thanks.
Yeah. You're welcome. I'm sending you a lot of mama love. All right, everyone. I'm sending you all a ton of love, just so much from my heart to yours. I hope you have a good rest of your day. Let me know what you need. I'll talk to you soon. Bye.